Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
With building and material costs having seen a dramatic rise in the last 6 months, Patricia Power, Quantity Surveyor, joins me now to discuss the issues facing those people now looking to build or to extend. Patricia's also going to be appearing at this year's permanent TSB Ideal Home Show, which opens today and runs until the end of Bank Holiday Monday, October 25th. Patricia, do you know what? Watching the programme on telly, I've always wanted the answer to the question, what was your route into quantity surveying?
From a young kid, yeah.
Well, you were mucking around on building sites kind of girl.
Do you know, I was actually. I'm from South Kilkenny, and we were one of the first kind of bungalows in the country, and we were one of the first houses in the area. So when we moved in, there was loads of building after us, and myself and my sister, every evening after the builders used to finish in the houses and go home for the day, we'd be over up ladders, climbing up in the attic, seeing the work they did, and we just actually, both of us loved it. Okay. It was amazing.
So it wasn't that you were necessarily a particularly methodical and well-ordered kind of child, but you were out poking your nose into places you shouldn't have been.
Climbing, I was a real Tom girl, absolutely, you know, and I wasn't frightened of anything. And I suppose back then, there was no hoarding, there was no security on the sites. You got in a free issue, and there was no health and safety. You know, we were totally wrong in what we were doing, totally. And it ended up, my sister actually studied engineering, you know. But at the same time, I would have been very much kind of the science, math side of it in school, you know. So that would have been my area of love, but I kind of always knew I was going to go into construction, you know.
Are there many other women quantity surveyors?
I suppose on average, there's probably, I'd say, probably 5 to 10% of quantity surveyors
really?
Are female.
Okay.
And that's kind of coming from the college statistics. There used to be, in Bolton Street, there would be, generally when I studied, you know, it was quite popular, they would fill a class to be 40 in a class, four of them female. So that's 10%.
Thanks, right. I'm getting in the way of listener questions here now. Okay. Before we do, because this is going to be something that we're going to come back to again and again and again in these questions, what sort of price inflation have you seen in the last while for materials?
Oh gosh, okay. I think everybody, and I don't think anybody's missed, you know, the hype and the feedback on materials that have changed and dramatically increased due to shortages, really. And the big item is timber, you know, and the big item is kind of MDF and oak and veneer, items that have been used in, I suppose, kitchens and wardrobes, because it's been a big buzz on in the last 12 months for people to take out their kitchen, replace it, and, you know, do fitted wardrobes, you know, all due to the lockdown and COVID and people at home wanting to do stuff and upgrade their home. So and again, due to the lockdown, material production wasn't there. So there's been a shortage in supply and an increase in demand. So prices have gone up. So some timber has doubled, if not tripled, in supply prices.
And is it just increases in prices, or can you just actually physically not get your hands on the materials?
You couldn't get your hand on it. You couldn't get it. And you weren't getting, maybe you might order 10 sheets and you might get two, you know, and then they're inflated. The price of them is inflated drastically.
So are you steering people towards other alternatives?
It's kind of hard to find alternatives, you know, if you are building a kitchen. So it's really, you're more steering people to, there's a delay here, you know, so you're going to have to be patient.
We could go back to Formica, couldn't we?
Even that, you know, they have looked, even OSB, they did divert, and everything's gone up. There isn't anything that hasn't gone up, you know, in that end. But at the same time, you know, there's other material increases in the general building area that have increased, and that's kind of steel, PVC, glazing, you know, but to be fair, I the way I would say it to people is I think they're at their peak. You know, I think we've had the rise, and I think it's going to start coming down again. It has to come down. It's definitely going to come down.
Okay. Let's get into the listener questions, and please do continue to send them in. 51551. Does the Patricia, is what's written here, I'll assume that's a typo, say, does Patricia have any advice for self-builders, renovators, sourcing materials from the EU, particularly Germany and France, for items like whiteware, kitchen and bathroom, lighting, etc.? Now that the UK has left the EU, will Ireland adopt EU standards for plumbing? Well, we always would have adopted EU standards for plumbing, wouldn't we? And for electrical in the future.
God, that's a very technical question, to be honest. I just think it's buyer beware. And you need to talk, if you are talking appliances, you need to talk to the experts who are going to be fitting them and to make sure that they're happy, that it'll work with the wiring and cable and the containment that's installed, and that whoever is going to fit these items is happy that they can fit them and it'll work with the system. So I think as well as checking the supplier, you need to check the fitter end.
So, the quantity surveyor is outsourcing this question or delegating the answer to this question to the plumbers and to the sparks.
100%. And I wouldn't be able to answer that. I'm not an electrician or a plumber. So, and I would always go to the experts, you know, and I'm never afraid to ask for advice or information. That's one thing I've learned over my career of 20 years. Things change and you need to go, construction is very specific. And
that's
a
very usefully female approach to something like this, because I suspect there might be quite a number of your male colleagues who wouldn't be so quick to admit that they don't know.
And I always used to say that to the junior quantity surveyors, whether they're male or female, when they came and they used to work with us, I used to always say, please ask the question, you know. There isn't a stupid question. There really isn't, you know. And if I know the answer, I'll help you. If I don't, we'll find somebody that will, you know. And it's a learning curve. It really is. And it's always changing and always moving. So
being charitable, I think it's because we're so helpful by nature. We like to provide an answer, even if we know the answer is wrong. Okay, let's move on. For my partner and I, as first-time buyers, a lot of what is available in our budget is the classic 60s to 80s, three-bed semi-Ds in housing estates under 90 square metres, the kind that needs rewiring, Wi-Fi retrofitting, the works. Yeah. With material prices so high right now, does Patricia have a rough guide as to how much people should expect to budget for a renovation per square metre, or rough guides on bathrooms and kitchens, etc., when looking at doer-uppers?
Yeah, if you're looking at a doer-upper, and I mean, this is a total revamp and bringing up the BER, you know, you'd be probably aiming for a high B or an A. So you'd be changing your glazing, upgrading that to triple glazing. You'd be insulating the house throughout. So that means the roof, the floor, the walls. And if you're going to that extent, you do a rewire and a replumb. So you upgrade the whole entire house. And this would be not adding an extension, because that's a different rate if you are into a new build. I'd be kind of looking probably around the 130, 140 a square foot. That's the budget I'd be putting on that. And that would include new kitchens, new bathrooms, you know, complete new
floor finishes. So for a 90 square metre standard, three bed semi,
probably about 130 grand for a refurb, for an upgrade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Add that to your 300 cost price.
Yeah. And that's keeping the layout as it is. If you go changing, knocking walls, changing doors, moving windows, you may add to that, you know.
Should people hold off on doing something like that before moving in, though, because there's going to be retrofitting grants coming down the line?
Yeah.
Would the smart money be on just, you're going to have to move out anyway?
You're going to have to move out and then move back. But there is grants available already. If you look at the SEAI website, there is grants available. And on PUS, the Green Hub do very good information and free surveys and offer free advice for upgrades.
But it's not unreasonable to speculate that the grants are going to have to get a whole lot more generous if we're to start retrofitting properly.
Yeah, you would like to think that, to be honest with you, because they only really make a dent in it at the moment. They're minor, they're small in comparison to the volume and the cost of work that needs to be done.
I have a damp smell in, question, let's just be clear about this. I have a damp smell in two rooms in my 1950s bungalow. Yeah. It seems to me to be coming from under the floorboards. What's the best approach to try and have this investigated?
Oh gosh. Okay. And I only had a damp issue in my own house a couple of weeks ago, so I can relate to that. The only way to find out what is happening is actually lift your floorboards. Okay. And I'm assuming.
No. Hang air fresheners, open the windows.
Well, you can do that, but you're not solving the problem. You really need to get to the core of the problem and solve it for once and for all. I always say to people, if you're going to do something, do it right. You know, so the only way to do that is actually lift the floorboards and see what's under there. Those floorboards are obviously sitting on possibly timber joists or a brick kind of block wall, and it's probably damp down there somewhere. Now the joist, you could open it up and the joist could be damp and they need to be replaced, so you really need to open it up and see what you're dealing with. It can all be fixed, and that's the only way really to permanently get rid of your damp situation. Like, what you could check for the moment, do you have vents in the wall? Ventilate the room as much as you can to help the flow of air. But if you have damp, I would be lifting the floorboards and seeing what the problem is.
As both my parents are elderly and have been unwell recently, I am wondering what we need to do to get advice on putting in a downstairs toilet and shower and possibly a bedroom. Do we need a letter from their GP, and how easy is the application process? How long are you expected to wait for grant approval?
I suppose what I would do is I would bring in an architect on that basis and get them to do drawings and apply for the grant. You know, it depends. It can vary from a couple of weeks to a couple of months. So as well as getting, you know, the grant, you will need to go and get certain builders' quotes. In order to get the quotes, you need the drawings. So you do need as much formal information as possible in order to get the grant. So it's a slow process. So, you know, give yourself a couple of months.
Okay. Text question 515551. Just bought a wood frame house and wondered what considerations I should give when extending the kitchen.
Okay, so it's a timber frame house.
Will an RSJ be supported by wooden framed walls? I suppose that's
the kind
of question.
Yeah, it's all wooden frame wall. Yeah, do you know what? It's the same as if you're putting on an extension on a block built house. There's nothing in it. As in, there's no difference. You still need to put in a structure and a frame. Wherever you're putting in an opening to link the existing building and the new building, you're going to need a frame. You're going to need a structure. So you're going to need a structural engineer in order to design that.
Okay.
You know,
we're extending a bedroom in our house to roof level. It is built over an existing utility that juts out from the kitchen. Do we need planning permission?
Is it to the side of the house? Probably.
I'm going to ask you both. It's to the rear, and then we'll say again it's to the side.
Okay. Well, either or, to the rear or the side, if you're going out at first floor, yes, I believe you need planning permission. But do double check that with an architect.
You don't need planning permission. It's exempt if it's under 50 metres squared, but only on a
ground floor
level.
And to the rear. Yeah.
Okay. To the rear, to the side, you need planning permission.
You do, yeah. It's ground level to the rear.
We are extending a bedroom in our house to roof. Oh, no, sorry, I read that. Going to get insulation blown into the wall cavity of my 30-year-old bungalow. Would you recommend foam or bead for this?
Generally, the bead would be considered the better product. Okay.
Wasn't there an issue with the gases that were used to blow these foams into wall cavities that whatever carbon footprint saving you thought that you were making by insulating your wall, you were actually, there was a huge greenhouse gas release from some of these gases.
I'm not sure, Philip, I didn't hear.
The industry might have improved, but it certainly was the case quite a long time ago.
Yeah, no, beads, and like there's different quality of beads. Eco beads are very good. So, and just make sure when they are pumping them in that the check is done. I suppose the disadvantage of pumping in the beads, you're not 100% you're not sure if you've got 100% coverage, you know, because you are pumping it in, so you can't see exactly where it's going. So it's can they scan it and check and make sure you got 100% coverage.
Every second question is, Patricia, how come you've never beaten the head off Dermot Bannon? But we're going to leave those questions aside. Patricia, question, is an architect's construction package worth the extra money? Will the builder follow it?
Yes, he will. Absolutely. Yeah. 100% it's worth the money, yeah. I always say to people...
Is the real answer to that not depends on the builder?
No, any of the builders that I work with will want architect's construction drawings and they will want to follow it, you know, and there is details in that only the architect can supply to the builder. Like the builder is brilliant and he's great at what he does, but he does need that design element from the architect and that detail from the architect. You know, he'll be okay.
But why
at
do
all
they
this.
Always just stand around bitching and moaning and complaining about the architect?
Because
then?
Sometimes the architect will push them outside their comfort zone, outside their boundaries, which is a great thing. And that's what you're paying for. You know, you're paying for that skill and that knowledge, and that expertise and that professional knowledge to do something that little bit different, you know. So 100%, it is money well spent. You know, there's no point in taking a shortcut and avoiding the architect at construction stage because you'll pay in the long run.
Okay, very good. So you're off down to the
Ideal Homes
then?
Yeah, I'm actually going down now after this. It's opening at 11 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
So I'm going to go down and take a walk and
very
see
good. Patricia, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.